This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. We're going to go down to South Florida now for today's installment of the series that we've been doing the past couple of days called Water, the High Price of Cheap. South Florida, which is for our purposes in this discussion Greater Miami, is a place where the idea of not having enough water seems pretty much bananas. They get about 60 inches of rain every year. The place is basically built on a swamp. The Everglades right next door spin off billions of gallons of fresh water every day. And keeping streets and homes from getting flooded again with fresh water is a huge job down there. However, climate change changes things in unexpected ways. In South Florida, rising sea levels mean ocean water won't just join fresh water in soaking the streets. It's also going to contaminate the drinking water supply. Marketplace's Dan Weissman has that story.
Harold Wanless takes me out behind a car rental place by the Miami airport. He's a geology professor at the University of Miami.
When they drained the Everglades here, water levels dropped about 7 feet. And voila, you have an airport.
There's a lot going on right here. We're looking at two highways converging, planes flying overhead.
Miami High Line, the Pink Pussycat Strip Club, everything you'd want right near an airport, I guess.
And a canal running under those highways and into a little barrier here. This structure is the boundary between the salty ocean water and South Florida's fresh water supply. And the water supply, it isn't deep underground.
It goes right up to the surface. So yeah, this is our aquifer. This is our water.
One of this little dam's main jobs is actually to get rid of fresh water after heavy rains to prevent flooding. The gate opens, rainwater building up behind the dam spills out to sea. There's dams like this all over the region. For them to work, for the fresh water to spill, the seawater has to be lower than the gate, which it won't be for much longer. According to current projections, which Wanless thinks are conservative, by mid-century,
82% of these structures will no longer function. That's sobering.
Meaning when the gates are opened, seawater will flow in, and the region's drinking water goes salty. Keeping the gate closed means flooding out areas on the freshwater side. There are some ideas about how to avoid flooding. Miami Beach is spending up to $400 million on pumps to send floodwater out to sea. But there's another threat to drinking water, underground, and it's already contaminated drinking water wells in some cities here. And to see it, I went to West Palm Beach, the offices of the South Florida Water Management District. Jayantha Obisakara is a scientist there who looks at the big picture. He showed me what's under South Florida.
This is a prop that I use. So this is actually the kind of rock that you find in the aquifer in Miami-Dade.
Called porous limestone. Before I got here, I was thinking porous, like a membrane, maybe like a really thick, hard coffee filter. No.
And this is like Swiss cheese. There are a lot of openings to move through.
He's understating things. Swiss cheese doesn't have this many holes.
Yeah, like it's all opening. It's basically nothing there.
Yes.
This is what makes South Florida's problem with rising seas special.
You know, people suggest, why don't we do what the Dutch do, build a levee and stop the seawater coming? But you may stop the seawater storm surge on the surface, but the water will come underground.
That's what's happening right now. Before seawater floods the land, it's flowing into the water supply. But first, let's clear up a question. If there's really no barrier between salt water and fresh underground, why isn't all the drinking water salty already? Gravity. Salt water is heavier than fresh water. Some seawater has always moved into the limestone, but it sits under the fresh water, which floats on top. Then sea levels rise. Salt water pushes up to where that fresh water was floating, and it doesn't have to push all the way to the surface to cause problems, just to the depth where you sank your well a few decades ago.
Then those well fields will be impacted. They will go salty.
That's already happened in parts of Broward County, north of Miami. Some municipalities there now get some of their water from a county facility farther inland. The more sea levels rise, the farther inland the saltwater comes, the more places get affected. Jennifer Jurado oversees Broward's long-term water planning. She shows me maps of where the saltwater has already come and where it's heading.
Hallandale, Dania Beach, Davie, Fort Lauderdale.
Right.
It's quite
everything.
Significant.
And it's not just Broward. That's why Harold Wanless has spent almost 20 years trying to tell his neighbors across South Florida they better start planning.
If we're blindsided, we're a bunch of Okies.
As in Dust Bowl refugees. No water, no viable anything.
You know, it's going to be ugly.
for years, his warnings got a less than warm reception. Then?
It was maybe by 2005 when I would give a talk to a Rotary Club or a business group. They stopped sort of yelling obscenities at the end or during the talk and listening. They started listening.
A couple years later, people started sticking around afterwards to talk, saying, we got to do something, meaning for the community. Now he hears from people who have done something for themselves.
It's truly unbelievable, the number of people that call me or send a note saying that we had three or four properties, we just sold them and made a killing, and thank you so much.
Meaning they've gotten out while property values are still high. Wallace calls the current market real estate roulette. Looking at projections on a 30-year horizon, he says that's as long as a mortgage. He's not the only one thinking this way. I meet Rene Machado as he gets ready for a round of golf in Coral Gables. He's 75, moved here 10 years ago from New York. He thinks Coral Gables is the best place on earth. Lush, peaceful, close to downtown.
It's almost like, you know, being in New York City and living in Central Park. How cool is that?
And it's never winter.
And it's never winter.
I tell him why I'm here. Ask him if he thinks about the rising sea levels, the threat. He says, sure, all the time. And yes, he thinks about how long he should keep owning a home here.
I would evaluate every 5 years. I think after 10 years, I have to take it seriously.
So 20, 25?
Probably, if not sooner.
Wayne Pathman is a land use attorney. We meet in his 24th floor office with a panoramic view of Miami Beach and downtown. There are cranes everywhere putting up new skyscrapers. Pathman's got a hand in some of these projects, but he doesn't think everything we'll see will survive the next few decades.
There are solutions. Man has been very good about finding solutions, but I don't think we're saving everything.
He's been pushing for local officials to rethink building codes to account for where sea levels are going to be in a few decades.
This is a very developed area, high density population, and it's coming. And yet we keep building as if it's not, and we keep living here as if it's not.
These new skyscrapers are just a small fraction of what he's talking about. South Florida's population was about 5 million in the year 2000. Now it's almost 6 and growing.
Obviously, nobody lives here if we don't have potable water.
Not even behind a seawall. In Miami, I'm Dan Weissman for Marketplace.
You're going to want to see how that gate that Harold Wanlis showed Dan up at the top of his story actually works and how it's going to stop working. Eventually, you can check out the video and the rest of our series, Water, the High Price of Cheap, at our website. It's marketplace.org.